morning. Welcome to church this morning. We hope you are feeling energetic despite the lack of an hour of sleep last night. It's good to see everybody here. We just want to invite you to stand. We're going to open with a word of prayer and jump right into worship this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that despite the hour of sleep we are lacking, that you can make up the difference. So help us to keep our focus on you this morning. Help us to worship you and praise your name this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Will you join us today?
Sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my, that you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free, yeah. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, and worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Yeah. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
To a neighbor, greet someone, get to know someone new, and then you may be seated.
Was that me? Just wanted to make sure you're awake this morning, I guess. Well, good morning. It is great to be in the back in the house of the Lord after a week off last week. That was incredible. For those of you that may not know, my name is Vince Chapman. I am the children's pastor here. I get the honor of spending every Sunday morning. Me and my wife, we get the honor of spending every Sunday morning with each and every one of these crazy kids. We're going to sing a song for you this morning, if we can, if that's okay. We're excited. We're here. Let me put it that way. While they're getting set, I kind of want to bring your attention to a couple things we're looking forward to coming this summer in June, just a couple months. I know that seems like it's, you know, kind of far away, but it's going to be upon us before we know it. In June is VBS, June 24th through the 28th. Our theme this year is Roar VBS. Wild safari theme, and so the catchphrase, if you will, is life is wild, God is good. And so every day we're going to look at a different aspect of life and how life can get wild, but through it all and through the craziness, God is good. After VBS is kids camp, and we always look forward to kids camp. I always look forward to kids camp. I think I get more excited about it than they do. I don't know what that's about. Kids Camp is amazing. This year, it's Jurassic Kids Camp. It is Jurassic Park themed, so we'll have dinosaurs, and we won't have dinosaurs at the camp, but you get what I'm saying. So it'll be dinosaur themed, and we'll have all these different games and whatnot, and we'll have fun. We'll learn more. We'll grow in our relationship with Christ. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be incredible. So without further ado, are you guys ready?
No.
Yeah.
Woo! Yeah. Woo-hoo! Let me try this side. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
That was better. Are you guys ready?
All right,
let's sing a song. Big smile.
Where would I be?
They're a fun bunch, aren't they? They keep me on my toes. Hey, one more thing, if I can bend your ear for just a minute. Today is a very special day in kids ministry as a whole for the AG, for the Assemblies of God. It is National BGMC Day. Today, Buddy Beryl, this is Buddy. Buddy is 70 years old. Doesn't look a day over 30, does he? Today, Buddy is 70 years old, and for those that don't know, BGMC stands for Boys and Girls Missionary Challenge. It is, it's like our version of Speed the Light, where kids give, and these kids get these little Buddy barrels, and they give to BGMC, and it goes to meet critical needs around the world, to our missionaries around the world, and sometimes hard to reach places. And today, I'd like to issue a challenge, if I can. Today also kicks off the national office, also kicks off what is called March Missions Madness. Anybody, any March Madness fans in the house? Okay. today kicks off March Missions Madness, and so I'd like to challenge you if I could. Today kicks off, the tagline for it is Lost Change for Lost Souls. And so the challenge is, if you have any lost change, any spare change in your car, your washing machine, your sofa, wherever it may be, that you would bring it and give it to BGMC for the month of March. And I'll even take it a step further. If you would like a Buddy barrel to put that change in so you can bring it Sunday morning, I would be happy. I would be thrilled to get you one. I'll be in the back with all these crazy kids after service. So if you, again, if you'd like one, come see me. I'd love to get you one. And that's BGMC. That's our need. Thank you, ladies, for showcasing Buddy and her barrel.
Okay, thank you, Pastor Vince. Way to go. Hey, Pastor John, is it true that we're going to play that song again, have all the adults do the motions? No, it is? Okay. Is it also true? Oh, yeah. See you guys. Bye. Everybody wave at the kids one more time. See ya. All right. Okay, I have a special message for all of you that are whining about the hour change thing. You spend more time on Facebook in one day than you do that hour. So suck it up. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But I heard that wine bag thing coming from the pulpit a little while ago, and I just wanted to straighten that out, so we're good to go. Hey, if you're visiting with us today and you don't love children, you'll never be back, but if you do, we would love for you to fill out a welcome card. It is there in the book rack in front of you, so if you would put that in the offering bag when it's passed in just a little bit, we sure would appreciate that. Also, several things that we'd like to share with you this morning. The Belize team, that is a team that's going on a missions trip to Belize in the month of July. I would like to remind you there is a meeting this afternoon, or I should say right after service. It is in the Family Life Center. There will be pizza, so head on over there for that meeting. This coming Thursday, our classics will be having their dinner, so be mindful of that if you're in that category with the classics. I want to show you the Rangers, results of the Rangers, I should say, the Derby, the winners and everything are up there. But we have some pictures of our new Royal Ranger trailer that has been redesigned, I should say, has been refashioned for our Rangers. We got a lot going on, and if you have a son or a daughter that on Wednesday nights is looking for some activities, then I just encourage you to bring them on here because we have things for all of our boys and girls on a Wednesday night. Our Impact girls are meeting on Wednesday nights as well as our boys, and this is one of the trailers they use for all of their campouts. So I just wanted to let you show it's in the parking lot. So if you're wondering what that black camper is all about, that's what that is. Also, on our bulletin, next Sunday, we're having water baptism. So if you would like to be baptized in water, if you've never been baptized, or it's been a long time and you just feel like that God has given you a brand new perspective on your walk with Christ, and you'd like to solidify that with a public expression of that inner work that he did in your life, there's a lot of information on that about water baptism there on the bulletin for you. I'd like to ask Shelley Downs if she would come up right now and talk to you about Financial Peace University. We have a booth set up for people to sign up for Financial Peace. We have 15 slots, and I think four of them are already taken, only 11 left. So, Shelley, if you'll kind of explain it for us, we appreciate it.
I've already told you everything, so I'm just kidding. We are hosting here at the Claremore Assembly of God our Financial Peace, which is the Dave Ramsey program, and that will be held beginning April 2nd. and it's on a Tuesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. And so if you're interested in participating in that, we do have a booth out here today to sign up for that. As Pastor said, there are 15 slots because of the size and the discussion. There's a limited seating in this particular setting. So if you're interested in the financial piece, it is $49 for the book, the workbook, to pay for the workbook. And if you know anything about financial piece, that's a great discount from what it usually is. And so because it's being hosted by Claremore Assembly, you're getting a great discount for that. And so this would be a great time and a great time of year right before tax season to kind of review your finances, get back on track with some things, and end the year with a great bang there of understanding of where you're at and helping yourself and your family in that. So please do meet me at the booth out there. I can give you lots more information. We are going to hold it here starting April 2nd. It is a 9-week class, $49 for the workbook, and meet me at the table out there to sign up and I can give you additional information. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Shelley.
All right. If indeed you are visiting with us today, new to our church, I don't have to sell this fact. I just want to let you know that we believe in prayer, and we believe in praying for the needs of our church. Found out just this week that, or actually this morning, that Charlie Haas, who is usually sitting right over here, his sister passed away, which is why he's not here today. Gene has been going through some physical circumstances. I know there's a prayer sheet that's usually handed out to you at the door with our bulletin as you come in. But also, there's a young man, he's 12 years old, his name is Connor, and he has leukemia. And this week, he will spend his week not in school, not in spring break, but at St. John's Children's Center receiving treatment. And Connor's struggling a little bit, not only with just the physical fight, you know, the treatments, but he's just wondering why 12-year-olds get leukemia. So let's pray for Connor, would you? And the needs of your heart as well. Will you join me in that? Father, I just ask in the name of Jesus, you're the only one that knows the secrets of every heart. You're the only one that knows every detail. We might have a title or two, but you know every facet of the circumstance that people face. And today, Father, it can have a lot of different expressions. It may be physical in nature. It may be a relationship that's very, very tense and fragile. We pray, Father, for those who are having financial circumstances. Just because we're offering financial peace doesn't mean that's going to be resolved. It's going to take some time, and it's going to take God, and it's going to take prayer. So we pray, Father, for all of the circumstances of our life. Some of us may be needing to make some big decisions. We're in a job that really needs some adjustment. So we just pray, God, be generous to us as a people and minister to us. And for every need that has not gone spoken, I pray, God, that you would just minister it because you know it and you want to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. So, man, I'm going to ask you to come forward. We can take up our offering today. I dug through my couch, and that's a lie. I dug through my pockets and found some coins. So today, what I want you to do, I want us to give the heaviest offering we've had in a long time. So reach over there in your wife's purse, because men don't carry change. Reach over there and grab everything that's in the corner of your wife's purse, and with her permission, put it in the offering bag. These are just our coins for BGMC to support that today, and I think that would be a fantastic thing to do. Let me pray again over our offering. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless us, watch over us, minister to us, and bless this offering in Jesus' name. Amen.
again this morning and continue lifting our voices together in praise to God. See, I see the King of Glory.
I see the King of Glory coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes, yeah. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sins. The people sing, the people sing. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
the most beautiful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings healing and strength. When I speak your name, mountains move, chains are loose. When I speak your name, darkness flees. It has no hold on me. Jesus, the most beautiful name that I know. You're the exalted one. Jesus, you have the power alone. You lift the lowly one, Jesus. Jesus, the most wonderful name of all names. Jesus, the only name that brings freedom and hope. And when I speak your name, mountains move, chains are loosed. And when I speak your name, darkness flees. It has no hold on me. And Jesus, the most beautiful name that I know. You're the exalted one, Jesus. You have the power alone. You lift the lowly one, Jesus. Power alone,
the exalted one, Jesus, you have the power alone. You lift the lowly one, Jesus. Father,
we thank you so much that you are a God who cares about each and every single one of us, no matter the situation, no matter the mountain or the darkness we feel we may be facing. God, you're a God who cares. And so, Lord, our problems may seem so big when I look at them through my eyes, when I look at them through my physical eyes and what I can see and what I feel I can do. But God, when I turn those over to you, when I keep my focus on you, my problems look small in comparison. And so, God, we thank you that you're a big God. We thank you that you're the God of the impossible. God, help our unbelief. Help us have the faith in you, God, that only you can do what we need. We thank you and we worship you this morning. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you for worshiping with us. You may be seated.
So, Jen, let me borrow you for a second.
Oh, no. Okay.
So I made all these comments about daylight saving times a few minutes ago, and you probably thought I was talking about you, unless you were in the hallway.
Sure.
You didn't even hear what I said, and I'm up here No, actually, what I wanted everybody to know, our youth group was at a retreat this weekend. John and Jen took him. She exchanged her 3-year-old and her soon to be, and took on. How many kids do we have at the retreat?
There was 37.
35 with two other youth groups, which is a total number of 385 kids this weekend. That's what it felt like, whatever. So, and then they had that. You got back, guys back real late last night.
Yeah.
And you had the time change and everything else.
Yeah.
And you're still smiling.
Trying.
That's awesome. That's all right, so here's the thing I really want you to see. How many of you guys really had an awesome retreat?
Yeah.
I'm sure they did. Thank you. You're dismissed. God bless you. Hey, as you're turning over to Daniel, the third chapter, I would like to just reiterate a couple of our announcements. Financial Peace University is something that I really encourage, if you can at all, be a part of that, especially if you're going to have grandchildren. You will need some extra cash when it comes to that part of your life. The other thing is water baptism. A lot of times water baptism is something that we just kind of overlook as something that maybe we did when we were 3 or 4 or whatever. And sometimes God just lays it on your heart. So I just want to extend that. The reason I'm doing that is we really wanted to introduce the fact that we were doing that last week. Of course, everybody knows what happened last week and the previous Wednesday. We had to cancel service because of weather and then all last week. So we've had a little bit of a glitch in our communication as far as lining things up. So 1 week notice isn't all that we wanted to give you, but if you would like to be a part of water baptism, I encourage you to call the office this week and be a part of that. And if you want to have a discussion, give us a call and we'll talk about that as well, okay? Hey, today we're going to talk about extremes. I know that everybody has, at one time or life, in their life, you know, we like things to be managed. We like them to be right there to where we can at least control the collateral damage that's going to be caused by any eruptions in something brand new and out of the normal that just comes across our path. And that's so easy to say that because there's so many variables that go with that. I mean, you know what? Usually you didn't plan on going into the office that day and being laid off. I mean, that just came out of nowhere. The doctor's office, you thought you just had a little bit of a cold and it turns into something else. That came out of nowhere. You know, the car, you just go out there and it's always been there. It's sitting in your driveway, your garage, and it just starts and it's just so dependable, and then it just doesn't do anything at all. And on and on and on, all of these things go. And then we go to these extremes. And it just seems like everything was fine and dandy, and then boom, my world is in complete turmoil. And all you can do is just to be sympathetic to that, to somebody else's situation, knowing that you've gone through those things. But God is the only one that knows the exact details of all of that. He knows the before, he knows the after, he certainly knows what you're going through right now. And they're just very difficult to manage. Let me give you the definition of extreme. It is one of two things, as remote or different from each other as possible. This wall, this is the west wall of this church, and that is the east wall of this church, and they are the extremes of this sanctuary. And within the confines of those two walls, even though this seems a little small compared to, say, North America and South America and that type of thing, many people over here have never met or talked to people over here. And it's not because they're indifferent. It's not because they don't like each other. There's this extreme that brings them over here and keeps them over here. Now, these people in the middle, that doesn't mean that they're better than you are. It just means that's where they sit. But in life, you know, we have these situations. We got it all under control. And it's not about being in the middle and then I get thrown either to the right or the left. It's that I am wherever I am in life and I get thrown totally to the opposite of where I thought it would be. And my world's in chaos, and I'm confused, and I don't know what to do. But I can just tell you, God does. So what do you do when you find yourself in these extremes? And don't ask me why that I felt led to focus on this. I'm not a doomsdayer. I'm not here to remind you that something's wrong in your life, or you have a problem in your life, or there's something that you can't fix, or whatever. This isn't a spiritual pep talk either. This is just God taking us down a path of understanding how he wants to take us through these extremes, because I promise you, you're never alone. Now, when the extremes hit as a family or an individual, sometimes you feel isolated. There's no one to really talk to. And it's not that there's no one to talk to. There's some things you just don't share. And it's not because they're so private in nature you can't share. It's how do you talk to them? There are some people that just don't understand where you are. And it's not because they don't care. It's just they don't understand that. Listen, I've had my left leg broken twice, so if I see somebody with a cast on their left leg, we can compare notes, but there's nothing like the fact that that happened to me when I was 12 and when I was 22, and now I'm 62, and you have one on today. So we're just at extremes. So, extremes, they cause all kinds of reactions and responses, and the thing that we really want to do is we want to be, remember this phrase? Cool, calm, and collected. Anybody ever heard that? You just need to be cool, calm, and collected. Well, excuse me, okay, but I don't think that I am going to be there a whole lot. I may get there, but that's usually not my reaction. Now, I found this completely humorous, so I just want to relay this to you. This is instructions on how to react to a hungry python. Any of you have hungry pythons hanging around? Now, the reason this is, I think, funny is not only what I'm fixing to read to you, but this is the Peace Corps. And this is what they evidently were supposed to have shared with the Peace Corps when they were serving in Brazil. This is back in 1992. Hopefully, since then, they've upgraded a little bit. You're going to be amazed by this. It says, remember not to run away. The python can run faster than you. The thing to do is lie flat on the ground on your back with your feet together, arms at your side, your head well down. For the python will then try to push his head over you, experimenting at every possible point. But keep calm. I see a grass snake, and I have to change my pants. That's keep calm. That's why I'll never be in the Peace Corps. I'm never going to Brazil. You must let him swallow your foot. It is quite painless, and it will only take a little while. If you lose your head and you struggle, he'll quickly whip his coils around you. And if you keep calm and still, he will go on swallowing. I would imagine that's the reaction there. Wait patiently until he swallows you up to about your knee. Then carefully take out your knife, insert it in the distended side of his mouth, and with a quick rip, slit his mouth. There you go. Don't tell anybody you don't learn things in church. I am a very well-educated pastor. Hey, that may be funny and everything, but it doesn't help us at all. Because the extremes we experience our real life compared to that. That is, I can't even imagine how many times that might happen. So when people try to help you with their life, doesn't it almost sound like sometimes people are trying to give you advice and there's nowhere near hitting really the target? They're so far off the radar. And sometimes we, hey, that's all of us, sometimes we try to be encouraging. Our words sometimes just fall to the ground because we're just trying to struggle to say something encouraging. Can I just tell you, God has the word that you need to hear. I'm just going to skip right to that point. God has the word that you need to hear when extremes happen. Listen, yesterday it was almost 70 degrees. I realized we had winds of 500,000 miles an hour, but 70 degrees, all right? Last week, Sunday of last week, today it's in the 30s, last week it was 10 degrees. I know, I was here, I played in it for a little while, okay? So extremes, crazy, and they just go all over the place. You probably have your own story to tell, but I want to share out of Daniel, the third chapter, the story of these three men, and most of you have heard this. I didn't grow up in church, so I didn't see the flannelgrams and all this other stuff of the three Hebrew children that got thrown into the fiery furnace. How many of you heard that growing up? It was a Sunday school favorite. It was fantastic literature. It was a wonderful teaching. So let me take you to Daniel, the chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar. I can say it, but I can't spell it. Nebuchadnezzar, this incredible king of Babylon, made an image of gold. And he sent word of the dedication of the image that he had set up. Evidently, he was very proud of it. Then a herald cried out and said, "To you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the music, all the people, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image, which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. There are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." And I've always just heard somebody play with those words. And one guy said it was my shack, his shack, and a bungalow. And I thought, okay, here we go. Said, "These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? No, now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the music and you fall down and worship the image which I have made good, that if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands?" Then they said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." And before we go further, let me just remind you of something that we kind of lose in the midst of this story. These guys were taken out of their homeland. They were taken out of Jerusalem. Babylon invaded the country, took it over, ripped these guys out of their own company, bring them back to Babylon, and made them serve Nebuchadnezzar. When we see this, we see these guys who are just settled in. They're just doing fine. They're having a casual day. And now they have to decide which God they're going to serve. Now, this goes way back. I mean, their turmoil, maybe their extreme started when the invasion of Babylon came and when they were taken away. Listen, this wasn't a trip across town. This was miles upon miles upon miles. We're talking about different cultures, different ideas. Listen, they were slaves. The Bible's kind to call them servants, but they were slaves to Nebuchadnezzar. So their turmoil happened a long time ago. Can I just tell you, we can absolutely rally over what they did. But here's the thing is, God has tempered them over a long period of time. I wish our extremes would just disappear that quick. I wish it was just over in a matter of minutes or days. I wish Connor only had to spend maybe 30 minutes in treatment and tomorrow he'd be cured of leukemia up there at St. John's. But here's this 12-year-old kid and I don't know what his future is. None of us do. But God has a way of just showing up in the midst of an extreme and doing extreme things. You see, too often we see the circumstance we're facing as the extreme. It is overwhelming. I can't do anything about it. I have no resources. I don't know where to go. Nobody has the answer. And we forget that there's this God of the extremes. And that's not just a cliche, it's the truth. God is the master of extremes. And there's nothing you've created, nothing this world has created, that God can't handle. and God can't do. And here they find themselves in the midst of all of this. Let it be known to you, O king, we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed, and he spoke and commanded that the heat of the furnace should be increased 7 times more than it usually was. He commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in the army to bind them and cast them into the fiery furnace. Then these men who bound them in their coats and their trousers and their turbans and all their other garments and were cast in the midst of the fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire killed those who took them up. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, and would you just kind of turn on your imagination just for a second? Would you just somehow, you can be a guard if you want. You don't have to be Nebuchadnezzar, but somebody just viewing this human drama. 3 men bound, thrown into this circumstance, thrown into these flames. And here's what Nebuchadnezzar saw. And all, including Nebuchadnezzar, saw these men on whose bodies the fire had no power. The hair on their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and the smell of fire was not on them. But how cool was it that just previously he said, I see not 3, but I see 4 walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the 4th is like the Son of God. And I'm like you. I wish that when I'm in the doctor's office, and I'm just wishing that God had the answer, and God had the solution, and God had the cure, and I'm just wondering, wow, why would I say that? Because I know he does, but how cool would it be if I could just reach out and hold his hand? I'm waiting for the doctor to come out the door, so how cool would it be if the Son of God came through the doors? I'm waiting for the phone call, and how cool would it be instead of somebody's, you know, advice and their expertise and their wonderful comfort was there, and somebody may be sharing a scripture, then I heard the voice of God. And can I just tell you, he's always there. I understand why we listened for the word from the doctor saying, I can't explain it, but it's not there anymore. I understand we're waiting for somebody to say, hey, you know what, I don't know how to tell you this, but you don't know it anymore. On and on and on. But it needs to be said loud and clear that in the midst of our fiery furnaces, and when we experience extremes, God is always there, regardless of whether somebody else can see him or not. But on this occasion, he saw him. It says all saw him. And guess what? Only 3 people came out. Long after we leave our extreme, God stays in the midst of our extreme. Let me say it the way like here. Even when we are fortunate enough to be delivered from the fire, God stays committed to our fire. He's not going to leave us. It's a flippant little comment from the Old Testament, but he still says it today. I will never leave you, never forsake you. And I don't know in what dimension, I don't know in what expression, I don't know how God does it, but he's there. He shows up. With Elijah, it was the still, small voice. With Moses, it was just sitting there doing this, and the seas parted. On and on, he shows up. In the New Testament, it was Jesus spit on the ground, made a little mud, put it on a guy's eyes, and he could see. There was this lady that had an issue of blood 12 years long. Jesus just took a few seconds and said, your faith has healed you. And she was cured. On and on, God just keeps showing up. So then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Then they came from the midst of the fire. And I read it just a second ago, and they saw these men whose bodies the fire had no power. I love how this says, I would try to say, wow, the fire didn't affect them at all, but the Bible says he had no power. This world and this enemy called Satan and everything against you, gravity, you name it, is always wanting to just tear you down. I don't know why, but we've created a culture that says, I can't stand for anybody to prosper. I can't stand for anybody to do good. I just want to tear them down. Instead of me getting built up, instead of me being stronger, instead of me trying to overcome my obstacles, I'd rather take you and just bring you down to my level. That's an attitude more than it is anything else. And it's called evil. And God wants us to be excited about what God is doing and not suspect to it. But he says, man, the hair on the head was not singed, garments weren't affected, the smell of smoke was not on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word, yielded their bodies, that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own. Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces and their houses destroyed, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. And he said, and then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Father, I ask that in the next few moments that you will give us extreme guidance from your Holy Spirit. Not just words of encouragement. We don't need another pat on the back. We don't need somebody to wrap their arm around us and say, we're going to bless you and love you and we'll be praying for you. Although we understand that, we invite it. What we need is God. In our midst of our extreme, we need the Holy God, Almighty God. We need Jesus Christ to show up. We need the healer, the provider, the strength, the source, the comfort. We need him to be in our camp right now. In the name of Jesus, amen. So I just want to share a couple of things that we need to understand when our extreme hits. Phone call, doctor report, you name it. This is what we need to just be reminded of. That we need to make our God our priority. Now too often that happens when the extreme comes instead of before. But you know what, listen. You know, you're not a bad person if it took something to rattle your cage and make you go, wait a minute. You know, I really need to pay attention to what God's saying and what God's doing. I really need to look at his word a little bit more. God wants to love you through every circumstance. Don't get it wrong. He's not out here trying to find people that go, oh, well, let's just punish them a little while. Let's wake them and let's rattle their cage. No, that's not the way God works. God will love you and compel you to come back to him. He's not going to do something horrible and damning to you. He will allow the things of this earth, because remember, we're not in heaven yet. It's not perfect yet. That happens on the other side of this world. But God will be there to take care of us. We usually run to God when we have a big problem, but we don't have to, because God's already there. I love the phrase of one song. I think it says that our tomorrow is his history. God's already been down the road. He knows where you're going to be next week. He knows how he's going to take you out of this thing. What you've got to do is just keep your focus on him. Because the extreme just wants to just clamor for your attention and take you off the focus and the point of what your priority, and that is God. In the midst of all of this, if you'll look hard enough, if you'll search diligently enough, you'll find God in there. God has not left you. God is not going to leave. God is going to always be there. And that's why he needs to be our priority. We also need to prepare for the extremes. We know that they're coming. But when that happens too often, what we do is we react instead of respond. You know, it's like a knee-jerk reaction. You know how that goes. We react. It's just something that just has to happen. But what God wants us to do is respond. Just like today. God doesn't want you to react to anything I say, to any of the music that we're singing. He wants you to respond to his voice. He wants you to listen to what he has to say and simply respond. We know how reactions are, don't we? We react. Usually short term, a response will take you through the next days, weeks, months, and years ahead. And that's what we need, is to respond to him. And we need to concentrate on what you can control. Because we do play an element in this. We do have control over some of these things. Let me remind you what these guys said. Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that's the case, I love it. It basically said this, our God can and our God will, but if he doesn't, we're still going to praise him. And we're not going to bow down to your gods. And listen, if you think these guys were just extra special, spiritual, strong, incredibly, overwhelmingly anointed, strong, no. The strength that they had was in the God that they served, not in the strength that they had in themselves. This wasn't a hero moment. Oh, look at me, Nebuchadnezzar, I'll stand up to you any day. That's not it. No, it was when they saw and when Nebuchadnezzar recognized that they walked with a God. And that God walked through the fire with them. That's what the strength was. Because listen, it's cold out there right now. Can you change the cold? Can you make it warm up? Of course not. When it's hot, can you make it rain? Can you make the temperatures cool down? Of course not. But what you can do is take responsibility for yourself. It's for the things that we can control. Because God gives us an element to be involved in this thing. Control your thoughts. Control your mind. Control your disciplines. Control the things that you do. The places you go. Don't let the external dictate what the internal does. We live in a world that it's hard to get up every day and have any type of good attitude. I mean, it's just difficult. The news isn't going to help us. The current climate isn't going to help us. The state of the world isn't going to help us. So you know what? We might need to start realizing we got to make some decisions for ourselves. That we're going to decide what we're going to do. Listen, don't let the here and now dictate what the there and then is going to be like. Because it's what you do here and now that is going to define your there and then. God is committed to seeing you through anything you face. Anything you face. Regardless of what you need, remember God is with you. Verse 24, hey, I thought we put three guys in there. I see another one. Looks like the Son of God. Isn't it interesting, that comment? I wonder to what Nebuchadnezzar, the Son of God, looked like. What does your Son of God look like? What would this world have to see in you or with you to recognize the Son of God? I don't know, but you know what? I just let you know that there's a lot of people that notice when you carry around almost like another person the sense of peace in your life. They don't know what to do with that because they're worried about the next moment. They're worried about how they're going to get through this week. They're worried about the next news flash. And there you are. You just have a sense of peace and calm. And there's this inner strength. And there's this God that you turn to all the time. His name is Jesus. That's what they see. And I don't know. I'm not trying to just fictitiously come up with this image. But I'm going to tell you what. It speaks louder than you know. Because I'm going to tell you what. When the world falls apart, when their world falls apart too, guess where they're going to run to? They're going to run to the person who has the peace and walks with the living God. The next thing is we have to trust God. Listen, I know that sounds simple, but it's absolutely relevant. God doesn't always deliver you from the extremes, but he does promise to take you through the extremes. We are not going to get out of this world without trouble, without problems, without trials, without tribulations, without being tested. And when those things come, they feel like extremes, don't they? It seems like the heat has just been ramped up so high, I can't stand it in here anymore. But in the midst of all that, God has made a tremendous commitment to you to see you through all of that stuff. I know it's hard to take this story of these three men and apply it to your life, but I love the fact that the Bible says they went in, bound up, they came out, and not a single thing was affected. The hair on their head was still intact. God wants to take you through this world in that same respect because it's his promise to you. And the last thing is just get ready to be amazed. I love it when we hear those stories. When doctors just try to, best they can, if they're a Christian, they'll immediately go the God route. But if they're not, I don't know if they're covering their bases or whatever. And I don't mean to dash any type of suspicion on the medical world. I'm just telling you, when you don't know God and God does something that's really cool and it's only nothing less than a miracle, what do you do with that other than you go, I can't explain this, but... And I'm going to tell you what, it's an amazing thing. It's amazing to the doctor. It's amazing to the person this happens to. But just remember, God is ready to amaze you. Because the bottom line on these three men, the Bible says that when they went through all of this, when it's all said and done, that they got promoted. I don't know what that meant. I don't know if they got a greater salary. I don't know if they got a better position. But they were promoted. They were not left. And guess what else God did through all of this? Nebuchadnezzar said, I'm going to tell you what, any of you other knuckleheads that don't believe in these gods, if you say anything about them, I'm going to cut you to pieces and we're going to destroy your home. That's a pretty strong statement of support. I would think that God is, you know, he's taking notes that this God that they serve is doing some really powerful things. Listen, let me just remind you this. If nothing else, remember this. God's goal is to always leave you in better position and in better shape than when he finds you. He always wants to take you to a better place, whether it's spiritual, financial, physical, whatever. This life wants to tell us, this is all you got. You were born and you die. Make the best of it. Good luck, young man. Good luck, sister. Hope you make it. I've never found any hope in that.
I've never been encouraged by that. I've never seen a sense of purpose by that. But when I met Jesus Christ, when I was only 17 years old, I found out that he gave me not just life, but eternal life. And all of a sudden, it's almost like we kicked that part of it away, because way back there, God had already committed himself to me before I was even conceived. And he sees a future that I can't even comprehend. So we just knocked the bottoms out of that whole thing, and God is still blessing, and he's still blessing, and he's still blessing. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. As they're coming and setting up, and we're going to sing a song in just a second, I'm just going to invite all of you to stand and sing with us. As he does, I'm just going to encourage you today to take the circumstances you find yourself in. And you may call it an extreme, I don't know. You may call it a setback. You may call it a disappointment. You may call it a diagnosis. You may call it, hey, I've looked at the checkbook. I see what's there, what's not there. I'm not going to put a title on it for you, but I will tell you this much. My God and your God, he came here today to encourage you. He came here today to remind you that whatever you have to walk through, he's already there. It's not that he's going to go with you. He's waiting on you. I love that. He's waiting on you. He's not going to sign up when it gets tough. He's never going to be somewhere else. He's already here with you today. And I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your news has been like this week. I don't know what your toughest phone call has been. I don't know what your greatest trial has been. I don't know how you feel when you get up in the morning. I don't know if you have difficulty walking. I don't know if you have to watch what you eat because you have some real serious physical problems. But I do know one thing that's consistent with everything that I've mentioned is that God is already with you through all of that. And God is going to walk through all those things with you. He's never, ever not been with you. I know that's bad grammar, but that's the truth. He's never, ever not been with you. And today, maybe you and I just needed to be reminded that outside of all of the news and outside of what temperature it is, and regardless of what we had to do with our clocks last night, my God knew what was going on today well before I even got here. And I want to plug into the plan he has for tomorrow. Amen? And I would like to think you would too. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, when we come together, we sing this song, I pray it just expresses what's on our heart today, Lord Jesus. When I think about the Lord, and when I fill in that blank, Lord Jesus, I'm just reminded of all that you've done. You saved me. You've encouraged me. Today you're here to raise me up. You're here to see me through. If I've never felt like I have a friend, I know I have one now. And it's always been a friend that's always been there. Will you meet the need of every heart today, Father? I just boldly and courageously ask you, meet the need of every heart in this sanctuary. And if, Father, if they don't know you, today I pray in the midst of this song that we sing that they will surrender their heart to you, that they will pray something like this: Dear Jesus, today I realize I need you as my Lord and my Savior. I also realize that I'm a sinner and I just need to be forgiven. Will you please forgive me today? And Father, I'm just so grateful that the Scripture says that if we confess our sins and believe in you, that you are faithful to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us of all our unrighteousness. So Father, will you bless us today? Not because we're greedy or selfish, but because there's a lot of people in this church today. They're going through an extreme. They never dreamed they would be where they are right now. They never dreamed they'd have to go through what they're going through right now. But Father, I pray the one thing that they will be reminded of is that you will walk through that fire with them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Will you stand? Will you sing this with us? Will you sing it from your heart? When we're dismissed today, if you'd like to have a conversation, if you need greater prayer, I would be more than happy to pray with you. Amen.